The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And we welcome, at this time, we want to welcome our Facebookers, our YouTube audience, and our podcast audience. Today, I want to be dealing with the subject of a time, or a space, rather, a space to repent, a space to repent. So for the next few moments, I'd like to expand a little bit on this. We're going to be touching on the season of Teshuvah, why I believe this is significant, why I believe that we need to be paying attention to what's going on around us, and especially on a national level. And that's what we're going to be really homing in on today. So again, we welcome everybody that's coming on to the broadcast today. Again, as always, we appreciate you taking the time out to join us specifically for these broadcasts. Again, this is going to be our prophetic viewpoint segment for this Tuesday afternoon. And again, if you're new to the broadcast, we welcome you here on Facebook. Please let us know below if you're new so that we can officially welcome you and acknowledge that as well. We always like to hear from you guys. So again, if you're just joining me, I know a lot of people are hopping on here. At this time, we want to welcome our podcast audience and our YouTube audience. Today, we're going to be dealing with a subject called A Space to Repent. Obviously, we're going to be dealing with the subject of repentance from an individual basis, but a corporate level. We're going to be dealing with the subject of Teshuvah. And I'm going to pull out some background information about this season in which we're in. And then I'm going to talk about some interesting warnings that I believe that we need to listen and pay attention to. And it may not be from someone an individual that you may not personally like. But one thing I've discovered in the Bible is that many times when prophets spoke, most of the people didn't like them. And I'm not by any means calling anyone that I mentioned today on this broadcast a quote-unquote prophet. But I'm simply saying that just because we don't agree with what they say does not mean that what they say does not hold some kind of a weight, or that it's accurate, or that it doesn't need to be heeded. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So here we go. Where do I get this this concept of a space to repent? This is where I got it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. Revelation chapter 2. Verses 20 through 22. Obviously, this is one of the seven churches of Asia that the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with. He's encouraging, you know, he's commending churches, but he's also rebuking them. Again, I want to say that again, there's seven churches of Asia. He's commending and rebuking. And to one of the churches, he says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds." So there's some stuff I want to pull out of here. Notice, first of all, that there is a woman who's in the church who, notice that she calls herself a prophetess. She's not called a prophetess. She calls herself a prophetess. Oh, I could preach 30 minutes on that, but I'll leave it alone today. But nevertheless, this is a self-appointed prophetess in the church who's teaching in the church, obviously not on the authority of the pastor, but her own authority that she's granted herself. And she's seducing men in the church and committing sexual immorality and causing them to sin. And notice what the Lord says, that he's, first of all, he's aware of it. And he says, "I have gave her time to repent." Somebody say, "Time to repent." So I want to home in on that, excuse me, today. A time to repent. I think that is very interesting, to say the least. Nevertheless, I want to move on from here, because this is very important. Because as we get into the season of Teshuvah, the word Teshuvah means to return. Teshuvah is a time to return to the presence of God. I'm going to say it again. Teshuvah means to return, or to go back to where you began. Come on. One of the churches, the Lord Jesus said in the church, the seven churches of Asia, he says, repent and turn back, or go back to your first works. Go back to your first love. So Teshuvah means to return, or a time to return to the presence of God. It's also understood that returning to God is accompanied by repentance. So it's repentance and it's turning back to God, or turning back to your first love, rather, if you would. Teshuvah occurs during the 40 days beginning the first day of the sixth month of the Jewish religious calendar and ending on the Day of Atonement. On the 10th day of the seventh month, observant Jews have understood that this 40-day period, especially the last 10 days between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, is called the 10 days of awe, which represents an opportunity or a space to repent and avoid judgment of God. Did you catch that? For us as believers, these 40 days are an invitation of the Lord to repent and enter into unity with God through the blood of Jesus. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Can't we do this any time of the year? Yes, but again, there is appointed seasons. I want you to say that, appointed seasons. There's seven major feasts of Israel. These are called the Feast of the Lord, by the way. They're not Feast of the Jews. They're called Feast of the Lord. Whether you don't want to believe it, whether you don't want to commemorate it or acknowledge it, it don't matter, because these are feasts of the Lord. And by the way, you may not want to acknowledge these feasts today because you want to say that we're trying to pull people in Judaism or whatever you want, whatnot. But the bottom line is, if you read the book and you read the end of the book and you read the book of Revelation and portions of Zechariah and other prophets, you'll discover that when the new heavens and the new earth are set up by the Lord and he comes and rules and reigns with us, if you plan on being there and ruling and reigning with Christ, guess what? You are going to be participating in these seven feasts. Now, wait a minute. I thought Jesus fulfilled these. Yes, these are types and shadows, and Christ fulfilled them by becoming the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He atoned with his blood. He became the red heifer. He became all these things. But it still says in the Word of God that we will still commemorate these things. They are memorials. Say memorials. They are memorials. All right. Now, so that brings us to now. The 29 days of Elul began on the 21st of August, and they will continue into the Feast of Trumpets, which begins on September 18th. Following Elul are these 10 days of awe, when it is believed traditionally that the gate of heaven is uniquely open for our petitions, our intercessions, our prayers, and standing in the gap. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. This season climaxes on the Day of Atonement on September 27th of this year. So this month, rather. Now, here's some interesting facts. It was on Elul 1 that Jonah left for 40 days to tell Nineveh to repent. It was on Elul 1 that Moses went up to Mount Sinai after the sin of the golden calf. Now, I want to home in a little bit on this for a second. The Lord spoke to Jonah. He said, go to Nineveh. And when he stood, of course, at the beginning of this, he rejected the call. He revolted against the Lord. We all know the story. He went the opposite direction, and that did not end well with Jonah. So therefore, by a process of circumstances, Jonah immediately eventually repented. He was obedient to the Lord, went to the shores of Nineveh, stood on the shores of Nineveh with the word of the Lord, and says, yea, the Lord says, 40 days. He gave Nineveh 40 days to repent. Are you hearing me? 40 days to repent, turn from their sins, turn from their iniquities, turn from their abominations, and turn back to God, and that God would give them a reprieve. In other words, he was giving them a space to repent. And how long was it? 40 days. And your Bible says that from the king all the way down to the common people, they all repented in sackcloth and ashes. Even the animals began to, they forced the animals to fast. Everyone fasted and they cried out to the Lord. And God, come on, he brought healing and restoration to the land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer, and that word humble themselves is a connotation of fasting and prayer, and turn from their sins. That's teshuvah. Turn from their sins and their wicked ways. Then shall I hear from heaven and heal their land. Notice the hearing of the Lord and the healing of the land was contingent upon what happened on earth. Let me show you another example. It was on Elul 1 that Moses went up to Mount Sinai after the sin of the golden calf to make atonement for Israel. That when Moses stood in the gap and made up intercession. Remember, Moses was up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments. And then when he came, he was up there 40 days. He comes down and here's Aaron having a party. They begin to forget the Lord and the works of the Lord, and forget that the Lord brought them out of Egypt and brought them through the wilderness and did all the mighty miracles. So they begin to take gold from the people, and they formed a golden calf out of the fire, and they begin to worship an idol god. So Moses comes off of the mountain. He sees what's happening. God himself becomes so angry that he's ready to wipe out the children of Israel. But your Bible says that Moses stood in the gap and interceded for them. So God called Moses back up to the mountain for a period of, you guessed it, 40 days and 40 nights. There, no doubt, he was interceding and praying, and God had mercy upon the people. Again, watch this. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the story of Jonah, the story of Moses, all have one common denominator. Nothing happened from heaven until something was released on earth. That something that was released on earth was a cry of intercession, prayer, and repentance, and turning from their sins and back to God. And when they turned on earth, God turned in heaven, because it got his attention in heaven, and he turned to earth and he began to pour out grace, mercy, and reprieve. Come on, if God did it for the time of Moses, if he did it for Jonah, come on, if he did it in these times of old, come on, we serve the God, a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. By the way, it is also believed that it was on Elul 1 that Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted of the devil and came out during Yom Kippur. What was he doing? Obviously, he was interceding and he was travailing all the way from the time that Jesus began, he entered into his earthly ministry. All we think it was just in the Garden of Gethsemane. No, it was from the day he entered into his earthly ministry all the way to the cross. He was interceding for you and I and for the humanity of the world. He who knew no sin became sin that we may have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, here's what I think's interesting. I want to share something. Two major figures just came out and gave warning, and I want to talk about this for a minute. One is a renowned evangelical leader. He is the son of Billy Graham. His name is Franklin Graham. Most of you, I'd say all of you probably know who this is. He's come out warning. And I'm going to give you a quote. This is not my words. I'm giving you a quote. Franklin Graham has come out warning that the Democratic Party is, quote, opposed to faith and is sounding the alarm. Graham is sounding the alarm that the left will, quote, close the church down in many places. should the United States fall into the embrace of socialism? Graham recently made this statement during a recent interview with CBN News correspondent David Brody, who discussed the Democratic and Republican conventions that took place over the past 2 weeks. Graham also discussed the upcoming Washington Prayer March that's scheduled to take place at the end of this month, at the end of September, in Washington, D.C. Graham went on to say that, quote, the Democrats, if anything, they're opposed to faith. He says, he quote, the Democrats have taken God pretty much out of government. He then added later that stating that the changes that the left wants to make and take us into is socialism, and it is going to affect the church. Quote, the government will begin to tell the church how it can be church, how it can be the church, and they'll close the church down in many places. He went on to say that, quote, we see right now because of COVID, the government is trying to tell the church that they cannot meet, and the Constitution gives us the freedom to do that. But because of COVID, they say we cannot meet. When he was questioned about Trump, he went on to say that he said, quote, I think God brought him here for this season, for these 4 years, Graham explained. I am just asking that God would spare this country for another 4 years to give us a little bit of more time to do the work before the storm hits. And again, he keeps on reiterating, there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. He says it again, quote, I believe the storm is coming. He goes on to say, quote, you're going to see Christians attacked. You're going to see churches closed, and you're going to see a real hatred expressed towards people of faith. That is coming, according to Franklin Graham. He went on to say that, quote, Jesus told us, and he said, quote, you'll be hated by all people because of me. And if we are going to stand for the name of Christ, the world will hate us, end quote. And then I want to speak of another prominent figure. Now, this one is in the Christian world. Many of you, this guy, you either love him or you hate him. But again, I am just reporting. I just want to give you a report. That's the only leg I'm standing on. I have no beef in the fight here. But best-selling author and speaker Jonathan Cahn, who's well known for The Harbinger, recently was interviewed by Pat Robertson on the 700 Club. And in this interview, he warned that, quote, judgment on America could culminate this year. I want to say that again. Cahn warned judgment on America could culminate this year. When he was... Robertson interviewed Cahn regarding his latest sequel, The Harbinger 2, The Return, which was released nationwide today. And I believe it was today or last Tuesday. And if the current global current global COVID pandemic, 9/11 and the financial collapse all be connected to the ancient mysteries revealed in The Harbinger, what could it mean for the future of America? Cahn went on to say, and I'm gonna skip over some of this because he kind of just talks about The Harbinger and what he mentioned in that. Most of you guys are familiar with that. Let me give you this quote. Quote, I had a very strong sense that this year was going to be a year of shaking. And he's speaking of 2020. I told people about it. I spoke publicly that I had to write this book because this was going to be the resuming of the mystery of The Harbinger, the shakings that are coming upon America. He goes on to say, quote, first, listen to this, guys. I thought this was pretty profound. He says, first, there is a template of judgment. Then there is a shaking, and then there's an attack on the land. And he says, this is what we saw that began with 9/11. I'm going to say it again. According to Jonathan Cahn, he says, first, there's a template of judgment or warning. Then there's the shaking, and then there is an attack on the land. Now, listen to this. He says, quote, it happened with America with 9/11. Then there was a window of time, come on, a space to repent, that the nation was given years to come back to God or head to judgment. And if it does not come back, then the shakings continue. He goes on to say, quote, there is the moment that we're in right now that is very, very crucial. Quote, because I believe it's critical, we are on the cusp of something gigantic. And he goes on and says, quote, so it's going to reveal, are we approaching judgment? How much time do we have? What do we need to know for the days ahead? And so the Harbinger 2, he claims, it says it opens up for that. And he claims that, and again, this is not a sales pitch for this book, because I, listen, guys, I don't get any kickback from this. I'm just telling you the warning that he talked about on the 700 Club. Now, I want to move on to something else. This, the man you're seeing on the screen here, if you're watching by video, whether by YouTube or by Facebook, this is Pastor Culverstone from Kentucky, Pastor Dana Culverstone. We've talked about his dream, his series of dreams. We talked about them several weeks back, but he had other dreams after this. And I want to talk about one of these dreams that he recently had. In late June, he had another dream in which he saw the month of September. And this month was specifically singled out as having a special significance. Culverstone said, quote, I saw a calendar. Start with the calendar. As I was having this dream, the calendar was up. A white figure appeared to me. It was representing God, the Holy Spirit, something pure and something righteous, something true, something holy, because there was nothing sinister about it, nothing evil. But I heard the voice say, part two, part two. I saw June go, I saw July, I saw August, and then I saw September. And I saw the finger underneath the word September, and I like emphasizing it, and it tapped the September three times. In this dream, Pastor Culverstone saw a hand remove the month of September from the calendar, and the page fell and came to rest at his feet. He was instructed to stand on the page and to intercede, listen to this, and to intercede for the nation. Interesting that Teshuvah began in August, but it goes through the month of September. I want to read this. He was instructed to stand on the month of September. After praying for a few minutes, he was instructed to call others to pray with him. And ultimately, he saw large numbers of people praying all throughout the month of September. He saw believers united in prayer. And then he saw something else that was very unusual. He saw a hand come down and write the words, quote, a solemn in front of the word September. Or so it would spell a solemn September. And then the hand wrote the word assembly after the word September. So don't miss this. Let me pull this off here real quick. So in other words, it said a solemn September assembly. He said that, quote, that immediately got my attention because we actually find the phrase a solemn assembly in the Bible in Leviticus 23:36. At the feast of Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur, depending on how you pronounce that, which is described as a, quote, solemn assembly in the day. Now, here's what's interesting. The Day of Atonement on our calendar, on the Hebrew calendar, but our calendar as well, this year is on September 27th of this year. I want to say that again. The Day of Atonement is on September 27th. This year. Now, listen, you can do what you want with that. Some people criticize dreams. They criticize visions. They'll criticize Jonathan Cahn. They'll criticize Franklin Graham. They'll criticize Teshuvah. They'll accuse me of pulling people in Judaism. Listen, it's going to be a whole box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get. Listen, it's not my responsibility to determine how you receive it. It's my responsibility to warn you and to give you the message that I feel like the Lord puts it upon my heart. But here's the bottom line, guys, whether you like it or whether you don't, we are not operating on our time frame, our schedule, and our calendar. We are on God's time frame, God's schedule, and God's calendar. So whether you reject it, deny it, or scorn it, we have entered into a space to repent, a time of repentance. We've entered in to test Shabbat. So I think it's appropriate for us as a nation to continue to intercede, continue to pray, continue to travail for our nation. If, listen, and this is not just any ordinary test Shabbat season. This is election season. So I believe based on the response of what happens on earth with the people of God will determine what is released in heaven. Let even the Lord said when he was talking about prayer, he said, pray like this, Father, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we want the will of God, if we want repentance, if we want restoration, if we want reconciliation, and we want revival to our land, then guys, it is going, listen, if it required something of Jonah, if it required something of Moses, if it required something of Esther, if it required something of all the people from the Old Testament to the New Testament, come on, I can go all the way. Elijah the prophet, he had to travail, he had to intercede before the rain would begin to come. And as when he released out of his mouth something on earth, God began to move in heaven. So I want to pray real quick right now. I want to pray real fast because I don't, again, I try to keep these shorter for just to be respectful of your time. But I want you to join with me. We're not going to pray a long prayer, but we're going to pray a significant prayer. And then I want to encourage you to keep praying, keep interceding, and keep travailing during the season of Test Shabbat. Guys, we've got a lot of stuff coming up in podcasts. I've got so many segments lined up that I want to talk about these other things. But this, I had to put to the front burner because of what's going on and where we're at right now. And we are in this time to repent. Listen, Jesus gave a space to repent to a woman committing adultery in the church. But don't miss it. He says if she did not repent, there would be consequences that follow. I firmly believe, guys, that if we're going to get what we're going to get based upon the attitude that we have of the church. Are we sleeping? Are we slumbered? Or are we ready to get our eyes wet again, our hearts broken again, our hearts removed from a heart of stone, put a heart of flesh in us, and begin to cry out between the porch and the altar and travail? An intercession in Jesus' name. That's the question I've got for you. So right now, listen, here's what we're going to do. Before we pray, because I don't want to interrupt the flow of this. So this is what I want to do. I think this would be a good idea. Before we do that, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find our main website. You can go. You can sign up to our daily digest. You can get one digest into your inbox every single day, and you can go there and you can sign up for that digest. And again, it'll just be one email that comes into your inbox every single day. Not, you won't get an email every single time we post something, just one inbox. It's going to have all of our headlines and our blog posts and everything that we post there. And as always, we want to encourage you to go to the official ETH app. You can get this. It is available absolutely free on Apple iTunes. It's available also on Google Play Store. Again, it's free. It costs nothing for you to do this. I want to encourage you to do that. Go get that, download it, because in your hands, whether it be a tablet, whether it be an iPad, whatever the case may be, you can get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as keep up to date with our latest podcast, YouTube broadcast, and everything we're doing as part of the ministry. It's going to be right there available for you as well. And as always, we just want to give you the opportunity, if you'd like to sow into this ministry, a gift of any amount, maybe partner with this ministry, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we want to encourage you to do that. You can go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com for you guys on podcast. That's going to be our main website. Also, we want to encourage you, of course, to get the app. If you've got the app, just simply go down all the way to the bottom to the far right. There's going to be a button that says donate. Click on that button. It's going to take you to a place you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. And that is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, listen, I want to pray right now. So, whatever you're doing, wherever you're at, if it's possible, I want you to join with me real quick for about 5 minutes as we pray for our nation. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, just like Moses came before you, Lord, when he came off of the mount and he came with the commandments, Lord, and he looked and beheld your people. He saw your people that was committing idolatry, these people that he broke bread with, these people that he congregated with, these people that he set free, these people that he shed blood, sweat, and tears over to try to deliver them out of captivity and out of Egypt, only to bring them into the wilderness for them to turn away from you, the living God, the one true living God, and begin to turn to idolatry and worship. The worship of idolatry and false gods and immorality. And Lord, we are guilty of the same thing. Father, we are guilty of the same thing. How many of us, Lord, you've delivered us out of sin. You've delivered us out of bondage. You've delivered us out of drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality and all kinds of abominations, only for us to begin to return to the very strongholds and bondages that you once brought us out of. And Lord, we begin to turn to money and wealth and fame and fortune and all these other things to try to satisfy that emptiness in our heart when it was never meant to be satisfied by that, but it was meant to be satisfied by you. Because you are the one true God. You said in the book of Exodus that, Lord, you said, beware lest you say in your heart, by my own strength have I obtained this. By my own strength have I done this and done that. And Lord, I repent. Lord, we repent. We stand in the gap like you did, Lord God, Lord Jesus, like you did in the garden. You begin to intercede for us. You shed your blood for us. Great sweat was drops of blood, great drops of blood that were sweated from your brow. Lord, you took the beatings, you took the stripes, you took the nails, you took everything. Why? Because you loved us that much. Lord, even Moses, God, he stood in the gap when you, Father, were ready to annihilate the children of Israel because your anger was aroused against them. And Lord, he stood in the gap and said, if you blot their name out of the book, blot my name out. Lord, I believe you're raising up a remnant in this hour, Lord, that's standing in the gap. Lord, just like Abraham did in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, Father, if you can find 10 righteous in all the land, will you not spare us? And Lord, I'm asking, Father, that we lock arms with every righteous individual, every individual part of this remnant in your church, in your city, wherever you represent, your family, that you're crying out, you're travailing, and you're asking the Lord to have mercy upon our nation. God, we unite with them. We travail with them. We intercede for them. And we say, God, one more time. God, may there be one more time. Lord, I don't know if there's going to be another great awakening. We've had a first and second great awakening. But God, if it can happen, Lord, it's being said that there's a move of God taking place on the East Coast of the United States and sweeping through there. And God, I pray, if the people begin, I know according to your word, you said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and wicked ways, Lord, then you would bring healing and restoration. God, I pray for a mighty revival and awakening in Jesus' name. Whether we're taken out of this place before it ever comes or whether we're here when it happens, but God, may it be done for our children's sake, God. Lord, may our nation be spared for the sake of our children, oh God. Oh God, I pray that you touch every leader. Lord, whether it be Donald Trump, whether it be political leaders, evangelical leaders, Lord, leaders that are ruling and calling the shots of our nation. I'm asking that you would move on their behalf and lead them and direct them in the way in which they need to go in this space of time of repentance. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you, and it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, that doesn't mean we stop praying today. Listen, continue to pray as the Lord puts on your heart. Keep travailing, keep interceding, and keep doing what God's calling you to do. Again, if no one else is going to do it, who is? Come on. If you're listening to this and you have a heart for a nation, you are part of the remnant. You are part of the 10. If I could find 10, I would spare the city. That's what the Lord said. You are part of that remnant. So I want to encourage you today in the mighty name of Jesus. So God bless you guys. We're going to sign off today, and we'll be back on here, Lord willing, on tomorrow. God bless.